I'm listening to the Sarah and Terry show tonight. Tonight we're going to discuss fear. And as you know, our show is about me and Terry having conversations of what inspires us to wholeness and wellness and what inspires us to take responsibility. And one of the big issues that many people have to deal with is fear. And this is something that we're going to look at today, and we're going to look at the physical aspects of fear, what it causes, the energetic on an energetic level, what it causes, and also how me and Terry deal with fear personally. And then we'll just see how it goes from there. Terry's going to first of all read out what the Oxford Dictionary actually says fear is. Aren't you, Terry?
I am. Right, the Oxford English Dictionary says that fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by threat of danger, pain or harm. I'm particularly interested in the idea of unpleasant because that seems to me that it really doesn't sort of say very much about the fear that I've felt and the anxiety that I've experienced before in my life. It just seems like it's a very sort of British word, unpleasant. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I don't think that sort of definition encompasses the whole of what fear actually really is. It is definitely is a kind of unpleasant feeling, isn't it? You get hot, sweaty, shaky, scared. You know, the start of my show was a bit fearful. I always start off a little bit fearful, but then as it gets going, I'm normally calm down and I'm all right. So we all do experience fear, but I wouldn't say that that definition, after reading that definition or hearing that definition, I would have any better understanding of what fear actually is.
Totally agree with you on that one. Yes, I was, still am feeling a little bit anxious, if we're going to be sort of honest on this one. It's a funny thing to kind of put it out there in this way and talk kind of honestly and candidly about something like fear, which does affect so many of us. There's what I want to do is just, I'm going to say quickly, so Sarah, please stop me if I just bang on this one, just kind of just try and go through what happens physiologically to us when we see or sense something that makes us anxious. Firstly, our brain, it sends a message to our adrenal glands, basically, to produce adrenaline. It does go through, quite a few stages, but that is really what's happening. Our brain senses or sees something or feels something or senses that something's not right, and it sends this message immediately, within seconds, or within a second probably, I'd say, to our adrenal glands to produce adrenaline. And this adrenaline, it's very powerful stuff in the body, very, very powerful, turns on our flight or fright, that's it, response, to enable us to deal with this situation. Adrenaline in itself, it's a kind of chemical messenger, and it travels around the body and it prepares us for survival in whatever we're perceiving to be a life-threatening situation. And within 30 seconds, I think it's 30 seconds from my reading, the stress hormones flood our body, and they cause varying sort of effects that are designed to give us this kind of extra strength and speed that we're looking for to survive. Because as far as our body's concerned, it's not seeing that, something that's not there or that we're perceiving in our brain as a threat. It's seeing, a life and death situation, It's seeing saber-toothed tigers, big fluffy cats with massive great fangs kind of pouncing down on us and wanting to eat us for supper. And obviously this worked very well in the life or death situation that our ancestors found them in. But, and they work for us now, I suppose. Yes, they do. If we've got a car speeding towards us or something like that, which really is an acute situation. But mostly these days, our stressors are more likely to be kind of chronic than acute, spread over days, months, even years. Things like relationship worries, money worries, health, work, you know, things that are happening that we can't control to ourselves or the people that we love. And this kind of stressful response, as opposed to the acute one, can result in this sort of adrenal flight and flight response becoming overactive and leaving us with a kind of heightened stress level, even though the stress is over. And this kind of long-term overactivity can have devastating effects on our physical and emotional health. And it really is. It's a massive, great big thing that happens to us. Our blood flow increases, our muscles pump up because we're going to be, you know, we're going to be fighting something, we're going to be running, our blood pressure and our heart rate increase, blood sugar and fats are pumped out of our body to provide energy, our blood clotting increases so that if we get slashed, our, you know, we'll self-seal so we don't bleed to death, we've got more blood cells that carry oxygen, our breathing rate really increases because we need all this extra oxygen. Our muscles are tense so we can pound the big saber-toothed cat. Our digestion slows down because our body is diverting all this energy away from, you know, things that aren't really acute. Our pupils dilate so we can, you know, we can really focus and see more clearly. They let in more light so we know what's going on. Our hearing becomes sharper. We sweat like anything because all this metabolic activity is heating up our body and the sweat will cool it down. So it's really, you know, it's a really acute kind of physical response. And this kind of, you know, all of this happens even on that lesser level. And we, you know, we have these terrible sort of responses that quite often we don't necessarily attach, like the churning stomach, nausea, you know, we don't feel kind of attractive or sexy, we, you know, become impotent, some of us, we've got dizziness, we sweat like pigs, it goes on and on and on. It really is horrifying. And, you know, the psychological symptoms, excess guilt, feelings of being unable to cope, helplessness, stressful thinking, negative thinking, mood swings, and then all this in the long term has a massive impact on our physical health and our emotional, mental health, anxiety, depression, fibromyalgia, high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, on and on and on and on. Fear is not good for us in any way whatsoever. It really isn't.
Certainly isn't. I'll have to agree with you there. It manifests itself into your physical being in disease as well, doesn't it, really, Terry? You know, yeah. It's a really, really important thing to get under control. It's something that we all experience throughout life. And like Terry said, it is actually, it is natural to feel fear. You know, animals in the wild feel fear, and then they use that fear to then escape a lion or a tiger or something, and they use it in that way. Whereas, like Terry was saying, we don't really need it these days in the same sort of sense. And most people's fear is just actually stems from fear. Fear is basically insecurity, inaction, anxiety, inhibitions, inferiority, hate, worry, anger, judgment, greed. All of them stem from fear. And the opposite to fear is obviously love. So, you know, we need to address these things. We need to recognize why we're going into fear and what sort of fear we are actually having. Is it a life-threatening fear? Is it fear of actually being physically hurt? Is this fear a real physical danger? Or is this an anxiety that's built up in us over time and through insecurities? That's one of the first things that you need to address when you are suffering from fear, I feel.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, I know people who who will live with fear. They call it the fear, and it's always there in the background. And you know, in the past, I've struggled with anxiety quite a lot when I was younger. I think a lot of young people do. And there are sort of transitional times in our lives, and particularly as women, you know, when our hormones are playing up and stuff like that, you know, that can really feed into this. But fear, it kind of, you know, it can change so much about us. It can just change how we feel about ourselves to such an extent that, you know, we don't become the people that we can be. And this eats away at us. And it's a terrible thing. I can remember once feeling so kind of disassociated and separate, carrying around this feeling inside of me. And I was at this, I was at a venue where there were lots of people. And I can remember I almost had this feeling of kind of looking out through my eyes and thinking, you know, I'm trying to do this sort of social interaction. I'm talking to people. They're talking to me. But really, I feel so separate and so alone. And that awful thing of just fear in the background that means you don't sleep properly, you know, you can't eat properly, you can't, you know, even when you kind of feel that you've got away from it, you can't relax, you can't read a book. I mean, it's just incredible. And all of this, it just exhausts you. And so just sometimes, you know, and that is kind of quite extreme. And, you know, I tried various medications and things that the doctor gave me because I was absolutely desperate. And I have to say, they didn't really work for me. They didn't, you know, they didn't. In fact, they made me feel more separate, though I do know for some people have been incredibly, incredibly helpful. But it was, I think one of the things I felt at the time was that every minute seemed like a year, because it was just so exhausting.
Yeah, it's not a very nice place to be at all, is it, in fear? I touched on this briefly last week about fear, and I used to feel fear as a child, really bad. At night time, I used to just have butterflies in my stomach and just be so, so scared. And this went on for quite a few years, really, and just fear. And then one night I just sort of like stopped and said to myself, hang on a minute, Sarah, why are you feeling this fear? You like, you're lying in bed, you're tucked up warm, you're in a loving home, you've got no reason to feel this fear. And and that actually helped to disperse that fear, that particular pattern I'd slipped into, is actually just talking myself out of it and nurturing myself out of it and just snapping myself out of it, just like, what's going on? You know, you've got no reason to feel fear, you know. And that was one of my earliest memories of actually dealing with fear and not just accepting it as part of my life, because it doesn't need to be part of anyone's life, fear. You know, if you are feeling fear, it's basically due to the fact that you're not letting enough love into your life. You're not loving yourself enough to be able to feel secure within yourself and to be able to feel that you are capable of things. You know, it's a really horrible place to be, and I've been in fear in quite a few periods of my life, quite a few times, and I'm a pretty strong person all in all, and you know, I do quite things and people think, oh my god, how do you do that? I'd be too scared to do it, and I do it anyway. But little things that shouldn't really scare you do often scare me, like meeting new people sometimes scares me, and it'll take me a little while to get, well, it used to take me a little while to get used to people. And you know, doubting yourself, fear manifests itself in so many different ways. You know, it's like I was saying, you know, you've got doubt, you've got insecurities, inaction, anxiety. And you know, it's really, really important to sort of identify what you're actually feeling the fear for, because it's basically feeling like you're powerless, and, you know, and you need to claim back your power to be able to get over fear and to be able to move forward in life, really, and to take responsibility for your wellness. And you can't do that while you're living in fear. It's quite funny today, because we've been doing this radio show today on fear, I've actually felt more fear about doing it than I have done on any other occasion. And it's because I'm focusing on fear, and it's not a very nice subject to focus on, but we're focusing on it in a positive way, really, because we're focusing on a way of getting over fear and to recognize fear, and therefore to be able to establish that there's nothing to be scared of, you know. There isn't really.
You know what? It's so funny when you say that, because the adrenaline, the stress hormone, it actually, when we're feeling even slightly stressed or even watching a horror movie or something like that, what it does is it primes the brain to feel increased anxiety and fear. So even though when we're doing something that we might not understand at all is, you know, is fearful, as soon as our kind of adrenaline picks it up, or it's something, you know, the brain, I think what I'm trying to say is the brain doesn't distinguish between actual fear and kind of, and like projected fear. So something like even working on, you know, a piece of work like this, which is about fear, can generate fear, not because it's fearful in itself, but just because that whole adrenaline thing is recognized and the brain is primed to kind of increase it and keep loading it up so that we can think more quickly, because it doesn't perceive, it doesn't recognize that this isn't a threat. I mean, it's absolutely extraordinary. And sometimes, you know, in the way that you were saying that you know, you were a little girl and you were, you know, you were very frightened and you had the kind of butterflies, which were all classic kind of fear things, absolutely classic. You know, you just sort of reasoned with yourself. And quite often, that's exactly what the brain needs, to sort of switch the fear off. Because it is, you know, it's if you enter into the space of fear, what you're in fact doing is ramping the fear up, because that's how the brain works. That's how it works when it's producing more and more adrenaline. It's pumping around the body so that you're getting more and more fearful. So it's kind of, it builds itself up. But as soon as the brain's told that this kind of, you know, this acute episode is over, you know, the saber-toothed tiger has limped away, beaten and bloodied, and, you know, we are the victor, within the same amount of time that it takes, you know, which is a matter of seconds, to kind of to push you up to that, that peak of fight or flight, it will take you back down again. The brain, as far as the brain's concerned, that's it, it's over with. And then the body starts about repairing all the kind of damage that's been done because of all the kind of physiological changes that it needed to make. So, you know, you start digesting again and, you know, all these things, you know, your hearing goes back to normal, your pupils go back to normal, you know, you stop perspirating, your heart rate decreases, and all of these things can actually be quite kind of difficult, really, when it's, you know, just when it's stopping.
Yeah. Well, it's not a very nice experience, is it? You know, and it, like I keep saying, it's something that we all experience and we all need to talk about. This is the whole idea of this radio show, is that we all talk about what we go through, what we experience, and the ways in which we all deal with it. What works for me and Terry might not work for you, and that's why it's so great to actually hear other people's opinions and what they do and how they deal with everything that happens in their lives. And you know, and all together we should be able to conquer. I don't like that word, because it means that you're having some sort of battle, and it's not a battle, is it? It's learning about yourself and learning about who you are and where you are in life. And fear is basically an insecurity, and you know, and it gets expressed in so many different ways, like I touched on before. Like, people that are really angry a lot and often quite violent people are often really, really full of fear, and that's why they feel the need to defend themselves so much. And, you know, it's so important that we learn to recognize these things in each other and people, and then we can move on from this. There's no reason for us all to be angry and suffering in life. You know, there's no reason why we all shouldn't love ourselves. themselves and want for a better life and a life full of love and friends and, you know, and happiness. Is, you know, there's no reason why we all can't strive for that and have that. And to be able to have that, you need to learn who you are and understand what does affect you and why it's affecting you. You know, sometimes I'll be in fear about something, and it'll be going round and round and round and round in my head the way it does, and then I think, okay, right, what is this? And then I look in and I think, well, actually, Sarah, this needs sorting out. You need to get off your ass and go and sort this out. Do this. And then you do it. You do the tasks that's stressing you out and worrying you. And then what do you know? You don't no longer feel fear. You know, that's where the inaction comes in. You know, fear is actually can actually be an indicator. It is an indicator, and that's what you need to look at it as. Not something bad or something to feel bad about. It's an indicator about where you are at that particular moment in time. And then you need to then use that indicator to let yourself feel loved again. You know, we all deserve to feel loved. I can't stress that anymore. You know, you really do. The more you love yourself and the more you allow your love to come in, the more you love other people and the better experiences you have. You know, because every experience, every relationship is a mirror of your mental pattern. You know, so if you are feeling fear, you're going to bring more and more fear into your life. If you're feeling anxiety, you're going to bring these things that you're thinking about all the time into your life. You know, and if you bring hating people and getting angry with people, you're just going to attract even more of that into your life. And I know this from when I felt lonely. Through times in my life, I've suffered from what you would call loneliness, you know, and then I feel, oh, I've got no friends, nobody loves me, blah blah blah, you know, sat there on my own and feeling really insecure, and then I'll be like, well, actually, hang on a minute, I have got friends, and it's I have got people that I can phone up, people that love me and people that care about me. But while I'm in that state, I haven't. And I might as well not have ever made any friends. I might as well not have any friends, because as far as I'm concerned, I haven't. And I know it is just my mind, and it's just the way that I am perceiving things. And it's a great thing to know. It's a great tool to have, is this ability to be able to look at your personality, look at yourself and your traits and what you're going through in life, and be able to stop and think, take a step back and think, hang on, that's not right, it doesn't have to be this way, I don't have to be like this, I don't have to be like that, so I want to change. We all can change. There's no such thing as never being able to change. There's no such thing, oh, I'm just angry, my dad was angry, my mum was angry, so I'm angry, it's in my genes. That's not in your genes to be angry. It's not in your genes to be sad. It's not in your genes to be worried and to be greedy. None of this is just something you inherit of your parents. Might be something that you learn, but it's not something that you inherit. It's something, you know, these things, they stop being a vulnerability as soon as you recognize them as a vulnerability, and then you're in the position of power, empowerment, to be able to take steps, to be able to do something about it. So it's great, really.
I think sometimes things like genes do come into play. But I do think then that recognizing that, and then sort of, you know, then you can start to work through it. I know one of the things that I think the first time I started getting, you know, really stressed and really, really fearful was when I was about 16. And I just didn't understand what was happening. I didn't understand it at all. I didn't understand any of the symptoms. I just didn't have any of that sort of level of knowledge. And I wasn't within a group of people who had that knowledge. And I didn't really have those kind of, you know, older people with more knowledge around me who would have been able to say, it's okay. This happens. This happens to a lot of people. And there are very kind of, you know, simple things that you can do. I didn't feel safe, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor gave me drugs. He didn't sit me down and he didn't say, you know, as a 16-year-old, right, you know, this is, you know, these things, you know, these symptoms are part of this stress response. You know, they're part of, you know, this terrible fear that you're feeling is part of what's happening, you know, physiologically in your body. And so you don't have to be afraid of those. But what you do have to do is look at, you know, at why, you know, why you might be having this stress response, what this might, you know, where this fear might be coming from. But no, I mean, what happened was, you know, I just got given a load of drugs. I think I was given beta blockers and some kind of, you know, something like imipramine, some antidepressants. And I took them. And yes, I sort of felt better. I just felt numb and I felt a bit sort of, you know, disassociated from things. But what it meant was that I could function. And so that's what I did for a number of years. I kind of functioned, and this functioning went on, or barely functioning went on, for, you know, for quite a while, until one day I just found I couldn't even go outside. And still, I was, you know, I was in a situation, because at that point I hadn't, you know, I wasn't around people. I had become more and more withdrawn. And still, you know, my response was to go and try some more, you know, try some more drugs. And it really took me to the point of totally crashing before I realized that actually these drugs weren't doing anything. They weren't doing anything at all. And stopping them and then trying to, you know, find things that worked. And it was, you know, it was really difficult, because even then, with the people that I was involved with, there just wasn't this sense that, you know, that this was in any way, you know, the way something that happened to people. You know, everybody was so busy, you know, trying to pretend that everything was fine and they were fine, and that it was, you know, everyone, I think, within our group was quite isolated in terms of that kind of honesty. And I was also aware that to kind of show the depth of my distress and my fear would have sent people sort of running to the hills, because it's, you know, it's a frightening thing to see someone lose it and, you know, to just be in that place of fear, because fear is catching, you know, in the same way if you watch a horror movie, you can catch it. You know, this is, you know, this happens if you've got someone around you and you're, you know, pretty high maintenance, or I was at that point. So it was, and I suppose what I'm trying to get towards is what I actually did to make myself feel better. And the only thing at the time I could remember that I used to do was have a really hot bath and have a glass of wine. And that was the only, you know, the only strategy that I could find for myself at that point in time, which is very sad.
Well, if it works for you, that's cool, isn't it? You know, I do understand what you're saying about the isolation bit, because I've isolated myself throughout periods of my time, you know, and it is really hard when you've got nobody else around you, because you're not letting people in, or because there isn't anyone else around you. It is hard to then turn around and decipher what's real and what's not real, and what you can do about the situation that you've managed to get yourself into, you know. And it does take time, effort and energy, but you're worth it in the end to put all that time and effort and energy into yourself, you know. It's fear is just a really horrible thing, and it's not something that you need to feel really. And we are really interested in hearing other people's ways of which they get over fear.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know, you know, if I was in the place I'm at now, I've just got so many, you know, I've got so many kind of different approaches and things that I could use. But I think it is that isolation which is worrying. You know, it is that fear that we have about being fearful, isn't it?
It's one of the big things as well that people actually fear is, you know, they might have loved somebody and then that relationship's gone all wrong for whatever reason, and then they feel really, really hurt, and they've been hurt time and time again, and then they feel like, oh, because I've been hurt so many times, I'm not going to let anyone else in, I'm going to build up all these walls, I'm not going to let anyone, I'm never going to love anyone again because all it does is bring misery. And it's like, no, no, what brings misery is closing yourself away. What brings misery is building these walls and around yourself so that nobody can get close and you can't love yourself. You know, when you love yourself and you start with loving yourself, you trust yourself more. And when you're in that kind of a space, the relationships that you attract towards you are more loving relationships. And so if you have been hurt and you have been in a relationship which has been very hard, well, then you just need to take yourself out, have a bit of time on your own and spoil yourself, you know, put time and effort and energy into yourself and notice all the things that you like about yourself. Don't worry about any of the things you don't like because you can change them. You can change things. I really do like to state that. I really don't think anyone's beyond change. I just think it just takes a bit of time and a bit of effort sometimes, more so for others than some. But that's cool because everyone's, you know, just as deserving as the next person to be loved. You know, you cannot let fear rule your life. You can't make decisions from a point of fear either because they're not going to be the right decisions, are they? They're not going to be the decisions that take you along on your path in a positive and fruitful way, are they? If you're making decisions because you're scared. Or if you're not doing things because you're scared, every single time that you decide, I'm not going to do that because I'm feeling this fear, that sort of lets a little bit of you sort of die inside. It doesn't die forever, so I don't really like using that word either. But, you know, it takes away your self-esteem that little bit more, of your confidence, you know. It's so important to just get yourself into a space where you do feel relaxed. Even if it is like what you say, Terry, taking a bath, having a glass of wine, just chilling, or going around a friend's house, or just going for a walk in the countryside, whatever it is that chills you out is good. It's good for you. That whatever it is, that's what you need to do if you need to be making decisions in your life, or if you need to be going down a certain path. You can't be punishing yourself because you haven't done things either. You know, you've got to be kind and gentle to yourself, and that's something I learned over time. You know, I used to get really nervous as a person, and then in the end I decided I looked at it in a different way, rather than thinking, what are you nervous about, and being hard on myself in any way. I actually started to say, oh well, it's quite cute really, isn't it? You know, it's quite sweet, nice that you get nervous. It's cool, Sarah. Because I do talk to myself, you know, I just say, yeah, that's cool. It's all right that you feel nervous. It's all right. It's a quirkiness about you. You know, it's cool. And then the more I sort of accepted that about myself and thinking, yeah, it's okay, it's cool, it's fine, the less I felt it. And now I just think I don't really care whether people like me or not. You know, I am who I am. That just got kind of a funny attitude. Well, that sort of attitude about it. Now, obviously, I do. Everyone likes to be liked, but you know, I try and bet my best to lead my life and without harming myself, without harming others, and being in the love as much as I possibly can, so that I do treat people with love. And I do make the right kind of decisions for me and people around me. And I'm not horrible to others. I don't consciously try and deceive or manipulate others. You know, if you do behave in these kind of ways and you are aware of them, that you are doing these kind of things, you're not going to feel good about yourself, and you're going to be more open to fear and negative energies. And that's why I keep saying it's important to love yourself. You must love yourself. You know, the more you love yourself, the more of a lovely person you are.
I think the problem with fear is that it can be stealthy. I think if we have when it's kind of stealthy and it just creeps up on you, the kind of that encroaching loss of confidence and the loss of self-esteem, I think it can put you into a downward spiral. And I do think that it is very difficult then unless you do have that kind of hardwired into you, to talk yourself out of it. And that's when I've found it's been really, really useful to have just really good friends around me who know that I'm kind of prone to, you know, to the fear. I've got friends who are prone to the fear. We've developed strategies amongst ourselves so that if we can see one of us, you know, starting to get fearful, if we know that they're going to be in a situation where they are going to be fearful, that we're able to, you know, that we have kind of almost like words and phrases and sayings that we use. And we do that for each other because we do recognize that sometimes when you're in that kind of fear vortex and you're being sucked down into it, that it can be very, very difficult to kind of to put the brakes on it and to kind of just try and make your, you know, to just to try and move on from that. And one of the things I have to say, I agree, you know, and with you, Sarah, on this thing about the relationships and how you build relationships, because, you know, the my friends, I hope, you know, I hope they do feel that I sort of, you know, I trust them, I honor them, I value them, I'm honest with them. And it's because we have this relationship with each other and we invest in this relationship. And it's very, very important to us. And I include my husband in this as well, that that we can help each other, but also we can help ourselves, because I know that if, you know, if my husband says to me, like, oh, you know, come on, babe, I think, you know, I think things are a bit difficult here, or something like that, I might just, you know, turn around on him and just turn on him. But also I feel safe enough to do that. And at the same time, you know, although this kind of fear may have stealthily crept up on me and have me in its grip, at that point, these are people that I trust, you know, who are going to say something to me. And at that point, you know, whatever, you know, however I am, I know that that's something that has to be taken really kind of seriously. And I at that point, I have to start thinking, right, where am I? What's going on here? You know, what do I need to do? You know, even from that place of fear. So that whole thing about how we build our relationships and how we communicate with people and how we sort of honor and trust them and invest in them and, you know, and give back as well as, you know, as take, and allow yourself as well to take from people, as well as giving. I've found now that, you know, that these are the really important things, you know, these sort of nurturing relationships that we can surround ourselves with and which can help with the fear. I mean, we have a whole range of fears, massive range of fears between us. Oh, my word. But to most people in the street, they probably think, oh, there's a, you know, those, you know, that bunch of women, those guys, you know, they're fine. They, you know, they're on top of things. But really, you know, a lot of the time, we're not. And we do things which take us up quite close to that line of fear or depression or, you know, feelings that we have that we've had since, you know, from childhood, or things that have happened in our life, relationships or things that have been done to us, is there, but, and will, you know, it is there with us, and you scratch the surface and it's there, but you do this other work and, you know, you start to be able to just kind of integrate it, and live with it.
Well, yeah, live with it and integrate it. One of the things as well about fear is it's normally, it is a lot of the time, it's worrying about the past or worrying about the future. And really, you know, you can't be doing this worrying about the past, because there's nothing you can do to change it. You know, you've got to look back at the past and change it in your mind so that you can accept it in a way which doesn't cause you fear, which doesn't cause you sadness, you know, because shit happens, doesn't it? And a lot of shit happens to a lot of people, and some people go through so much stuff, and you think, oh my God, how did they ever make it through that? But they do make it through that, and the fact that they've made it through that just shows what an amazing, wonderful people they are and how much love they should have for themselves to have that ability to be able to come through really tough situations and still be the person that you want to be at the end of the day is so important. You know, you cannot let life's experiences change who you are and what sort of person you want to be, you know. You need to have control of your own. I don't like that word. I keep saying it like that. You know, you need to be able to do that. Everyone has shit happening, and you know, you just got to work through it and love yourself through it and be gentle with yourself. And one of the ways that I one of the things that really triggered things in my head for me was just reading something or getting something from somewhere. I inspired things for me. I can't even remember where the source was, but it was. Talk to yourself or treat yourself how you would your friend or your child, or, you know, treat yourself how you would somebody you love. And, you know, that way you can work through things, can't you? You can figure out things and hopefully, not hopefully, because that's another form of fear, isn't it? Well, you will be able to step into the love, you know. It's understand it for me personally as well. What helps me a lot is an understanding that I can feel love in my heart so strong. I can feel like when I'm grounded and I'm feeling connected to the earth and I'm feeling connected to the source and feeling just full of love, and that feeling to me is just something that's so amazing. And the more I feel that, obviously the less I feel the fear, you know. And the more I can project that, the more I can bring that down and be grounded and bring that love and light down, and the more it spreads out around me, the more everyone else feels it, the more the energy in the world feels it. And the more people that do this and do consciously ground themselves and do consciously bring the love down into their lives and into their hearts, the more love there is going to be in the world. It's just a simple, comes down to simple maths really at the end of the day. You know, people go, oh, what's love and light, what's that supposed to do, what can that do? And well, maths, work out your maths. The more people that do feel love, the more people that do feel the light, and the more people that do bring it down, the more there is going to be in this world. And this world really does need it, like we all do.
I love that. No, I really, really do love it, because most of the time, sort of my thought on all of this is, you know, this too will pass, as I sit there in the middle of some great storm of fear and anxiety. I can just say to myself, this too will pass. Now, this time, what I'm going to be saying is, right, I'm channeling the love down. I'm pulling this love down because, you know, I will try. You know, I'll try many, many things, and I'm going to, you know, discuss this with my friends as well, this one. You know, I mean, we're very, very, you know, we're excellent about, you know, making sure that we get the right herbs and things inside ourselves, and that we're eating the right things or taking the right supplements or doing our breathing and, you know, all these techniques, which, you know, and there are so many things to do, but something as kind of as straightforward and as, you know, as just enriching, as just pulling down that love and feeling that love, particularly when you don't feel loved and there is that sense of sort of emptiness, to just pull it down, to, you know, to ask for it, to pull it down into yourself. That for me sounds like a really, really kind of enriching and warming and enveloping and nurturing thing to do. And so I thank you for sharing that one, because I'll I'm going to be trying to I'm going to give that a go, and I'm certainly going to talk to my tell my friends about it as well, because it just evokes this wonderful picture of just kind of being almost held, you know, held by the mother, which is...
Well, you are. We all are, and it's about facing reality. We all think we live in reality, but really we're living in an illusion, you know. The reality is we are all connected. We all are all one.
There is so much love out there, and all we've got to do is open our hearts to it. We need to step out of this fear, step away from this form of control, because that's what it is. And people feel that they need control, and they fear losing the control. But by trying to cling on to things in your life and prevent things from changing, prevent things from moving on, and prevent people from coming into your life because you don't want to get hurt, all these things aren't real. That's not how we want to be, is it? That's not what the sort of world we want to live in. It's up to us each as individuals to take responsibility for ourselves and to be the change that we want to see in the world, to be the love, to be the light, and be what we want to see, you know. Otherwise, it's never going to change. Nothing's going to change. It'll all be the same.
Yeah, I totally, totally, totally agree with you on that. But I think we should as well kind of commit ourselves to, you know, the possibility that, you know, that we can assist people in this as well, not by saying, oh, come on, I'm going to show you how to do something, but just that I am just so aware from being in that place where I felt so cut off because I couldn't move myself out of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and for somebody just to, you know, to come and just hold me and to tell me those things, you know, these things that I could not have found for myself, it was just an impossibility, would have just made all the difference. You know, it would have made the difference right at the start. You know, if someone when I was 16 had actually sat down and just held me and said those things, then things would have been very different, I think, for me, you know, for a long time.
Yeah.
Very different.
Well, that's why conversations like this are so important. If people are living in fear or have got fear, well, then it's always a good thing to talk to people about it, because, you know, this subject is so vast. When we decided that we was going to talk about it, you know, I don't know, I just didn't really seem to think it would be quite as vast as what it is, but it is really vast. But we do need to keep it simple and, you know, not overcomplicate things, because it's not complicated. It is basically just a case of letting the love in and letting go of fear, and that is as simple as it is, which might seem like a massive task to people, but the more you do each day, the more you do that you love each day, the more you're going to feel it, and the more you acknowledge the fact that you are feeling fear and take a step back and think, hang on a minute, I don't want to be in this state. I no longer want this for myself. I love myself and I deserve better. Your life will get better. You know, and you are the only one at the end of the day who can change it and who can make these decisions for you.
I think that time's just about to run out on us. So I think that from this massive subject on fear, Sarah, you should let us know what we're going to be discussing next week, which is really great.
Well, we're going to be talking about happiness, because I thought, like, well, you suggested happiness, but I thought, oh, God, yeah, not another week of fear. But, yeah, no, happiness, that's what we're going to do next week.
Yeah, I think we've got a little bit longer to talk, but...
So if anyone
wants, we'd get that one in, because I thought when you were talking about this, you know, this whole thing of, you know, of fear and this massive, massive subject, my goodness, if fear is massive, happiness has got to be... just, you know, equally as huge, really, hasn't it?
Yeah, but it's got loads of good benefits being happy, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's a positive subject. Well, fear is a positive subject. It's a necessary subject and a positive subject. And like I've said before, people can be controlled through fear. So if you are feeling fear of others or anything like that, well, you know, this is a subject that's going to be talked about in the next show, is like child abuse and things like that is full of, well, it's controlled by fear, isn't it? And ways to deal with that is one of the ways that people get away with it is through the fact that people don't talk about it anymore. Not that they ever did, but people don't talk about it. It needs to be out there in the open, this subject. I really do strongly believe that it needs to be talked about. And if anyone is going through anything like this, well, then they have to talk to other people about it, and hopefully something can be done about it. You know, fear is a horrible feeling to have, and it is brought on by many different situations in your life. Does anyone else in the call room want to say anything on what we've been speaking about today? Callie, did you want to say anything?
The spear's got them.
Yeah, they're not talking.
Yeah.
Hello.
We are here. Sorry.
All right. It's okay.
We were muted.
Hello.
All right. That was a wonderful show, and exactly what I need right now as well, because the guest for my show, or Mine and Prajna's show coming up, hasn't turned up. So rather than dwelling in the fear, I've gone into the love, and I know that I can present the message that Shiva wanted to present herself. And we've also got Brian Clare on with us as well. So everything's going to be absolutely fine. And thank you, ladies, for that little pep talk just when I needed it most.
No worries. But that's the best, because that's the best way to be, really, isn't it? And you saying that is just made me think of something else. You know, when you are in a fearful situation, if you stay in that situation, you're not going to do so well, are you? So it's so important, no matter what situation that you are enduring at the time, to try to let the love in and to get rid of the fear, really, to let go of the fear.
I'm letting that love in, Sarah. I really am. I'm going for that.
Well...
It was good that you mentioned hope as well, because most people think that hope is a good thing.
Yeah.
And they fail to recognize that if you have hope, then there are some doubts. Otherwise, you wouldn't need to have any hope at all. If there was no doubt, then no hope would be necessary. So the doubt is there, and doubt is a form of fear too.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Yeah, hope is a terrible one. And also when hope is constantly dashed, and, you know, and you just have this little light of hope, and then it's dashed, and it's dashed, and it's dashed, and it's dashed. And it just becomes soul-destroying.
That's worrying about the future, isn't it? Again, it's worrying about something that hasn't even happened, hasn't even materialised, and probably won't even happen. Or it might happen. But if it does happen, well, then you're not going to be able to deal with it by being in the fear. You're going to be able to deal with it by being in the love. So... you know, there's this future and past hopping that brings in a lot of fear.
And you can say, and this too will pass.
It certainly will. You know, there's no need to process and dwell on things, I don't think. Just let it go. Shit happens.
Sorry. We were muted there, but I just wanted to say, along with what you were just saying, Sarah, that we only have the moment, we can only live in the moment. So fear of the future or hope for the future is it's a waste of energy, really. And we do spend a lot of time in anxious states, worrying and fearful, or in hope for the future, when all we have is right now. And so we swamp our energy in the moment with worry about something that may or may not ever happen. So, yeah, just wanted to throw that in.
thank you very much, Callie, because it's right. You're basically fearing an illusion, you know, something that's not real. And there's no point when it's put like that. It just actually highlights what it is actually, what the reality of it is. You are fearing something that hasn't happened, that is not real, that might not ever happen. And the more you think about it, the more likely it is to happen. So, obviously, it is not productive in any way, shape or form. So, it's not worth bothering with as far as I'm concerned.
I heard a great quote. Someone said that 90% of what we worry about never happens.
Gosh, where did that come from?
Say again?
Where did that come from? Can you remember?
I'm not sure. No.
Yeah, what happens when it does happen?
You deal with it. That's what happens. And when you're dealing with something, it's nowhere near as bad as what you was sitting there thinking and worrying about for weeks beforehand, is it? You just get on with it and you just do it. You know,
exactly.
I've been in some terrible situations in my life and just done it, dealt with it.
Good on you.
And then in a few weeks' time, a few months' time, you're not even going to think about it half as much. Not unless you dwell on it and start past hopping. You know, just say
past hopping.
Yeah, going back to the past or future hopping, going to the future, you know, worrying about what's happened or something, which is something that you can't have any control of. But we've got to finish now. I don't want to overrun like we did last time. So we're going to say thank you very much to everyone for listening, and I hope that you found this useful in some way. And we've got a Facebook page set up now called The Terry and Sarah Show, Dark City Radio. Please feel free to join and also put it and input, because it is, we want it to be a page where everyone puts down what inspires them to take responsibility for their lives, what happens, you know, how they deal with things. We want it to be an active page with everyone's input, please. Thank you very much. And so we can all use that to make this world a nicer place to live. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Bye.